Welcome back to the two episodes in a week, I think, after not being here for about 2 months. I think that's quite a lot. But welcome back to another Box to Box episode. First leg's done, recording on Thursday. So fresh out of the first leg quarterfinals, 1-0 wins in all formats, not necessarily a goal fest. But there's plenty to talk about, particularly in a few matches more than others. But Jesse, you were in Lyon for a big Chelsea 1-0 win with a Gora Wrightson right footer, golazo.
Yeah, I survived the French air traffic control strikes to make it both to Lyon and home for Lyon. Apparently they evacuated the airport today after I'd like flown, like I was already on the plane, but I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad I wasn't there for that.
They evacuated the airport.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, Amanda Zaza got evacuated, is all I know. I don't think just her, I think other people as well. So yeah, it was, I mean, the game itself was maybe what we expected it to be. I guess a lot of these games felt quite edgy. This one was definitely tense, and I think you could see from the start that both teams felt quite nervous. The first 20 minutes was just, I saw a lot of people describing the first half as one of the best first halves of football they've seen in ages. I was like, are we watching the same match? Because everyone was just giving the ball away. But when Guri scored, oh, it was amazing, because the Chelsea fans were like just above and to the side of that goal. So it was an amazing view of the shot. Definitely one of the coolest goals I think I've seen live, just in terms of the context. And really after that, Chelsea were playing long ball, shitty football for the whole game. That was the idea. But especially as soon as we went 1-0 up, it was shut up shop. Like, let's take this back to Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, that's quite fair. The moments that I can pick out, well, I mean, we do have to talk about that Aaron Cuthbert nutmeg for that Gora Wrightson goal. That was absolutely brilliant. It was basically, if you didn't watch it, Ellie Carpenter did a very shit pass, and Aaron Cuthbert got back, nutmegged, I think it was Damaris, and with Ellie Carpenter out of position, Gora Wrightson went into the space, finished first time into the far post. Absolutely curling finish with her weak foot. So we can say, I guess, it's not really weak, is it? If you're going to score that well with it.
That's what Emma Hayes said afterwards. Like, can we see more of that?
Yeah. I think what was more impressive was that Lauren James post. Because of the effortless that she did that with. She got the ball down the wing, stopped fully. The ball is stopped in between her legs. Maroney is kind of staring at her, waiting for the next move. And then she just struts obviously in a very high pace, but what seems very nonchalant, cuts into her left foot outside the box and releases a shot that it looks like a pass.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a pass, and then you hear it and you see it bounce off the post and you realize how much power that ball actually had in it. And it's stupid.
The power she generates.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that was really impressive. And I actually think also the stat that maybe sums up the whole game the most is that Lauren James made the most tackles of any player, Chelsea player in the game. Yeah, five tackles attempted, 4-1. So I feel like that just tells you how much everyone was on strict instructions to just get involved and break up play. Because that chance she had was really like one of the only moments we actually saw her get the better of Maroney. I think there were like a couple of other times where she maybe crossed the ball in, and I think it just went straight into Ender's hands. But that was like the only real moment where you were like, oh, this is really dangerous. And yeah, it was a shame. I would have liked to see more of that. I thought it was interesting. Like, Chelsea chose to sit very narrow, and I think it was because they didn't want to get caught out of position. So they were just like, we all defend the box. No matter what, if Lyon wants to have the ball out wide, go wild. We'll wait until you get into a dangerous area. But
there wasn't as much threat out wide as what you usually expect from a Lyon side.
Yeah, well, I guess because when they're playing the two up top like that, they get very narrow. And I think the fact that Maroney started ahead of Basha was obviously a big boost because Chelsea were able to say, basically, okay, if Lyon are going to attack, it's going to be down the right with Ellie Carpenter, and we're not so worried about Pearl Moroney.
I also didn't think Ellie Carpenter looked at her best, for obvious reasons. I mean, she hasn't played a Champions League match since the final last year, so I thought that was quite obvious a weakness also. But it was, I mean, Lyon had chances, but not as many as you would expect them to. I thought Lindsay Horan was very quiet as well. I thought the midfield in general did, to put it very bluntly, fuck all. DVD did spark a lot of energy when she came on. But
she just ran around though. She was like a terrier. It was like it was a bit like Erin Cuthbert when she's not very good. Where you're like, okay, you're running, but you're not really doing anything. I thought Lindsay Horan was good. But
I thought she was really quiet, actually. I thought she didn't do much.
I thought she faded out. I felt like in the first 20 minutes, she was the player who I thought looked best because I felt like she had a lot of space in that kind of right-hand midfield, like half space almost. But I felt as the game went on, she grew more detached. But maybe I was just being more aware of it because she's a player who I feel like can just conjure up something crazy. So maybe I was just keeping more.
I think also to the standard of Lindsay Horan, I think she's always going to be involved in the game. But I thought, I mean, in general, Lyon didn't have that much of an attacking presence as what you would be scared to go up against Lyon with. I thought Ada Hegerberg's face on the bench, being very pissed for not being able to come on, was absolutely a highlight of the match.
I knew she wasn't going to play. I knew it. I'd been saying to everyone, Ada's not going to play.
But it was, I don't know what it was, but when she was warming up with the strength and conditioning coach, whatever, like quite thoroughly, like as you would do before you're about to come on. So I don't know if it was a last minute decision of her not coming on for tactical purposes or just saving it for Stamford Bridge. I wouldn't be surprised if she plays this weekend so she can play in the return fixture or in the away fixture. But I thought her face kind of said it all. It was quite funny. But I mean, there's nothing to it. Lyon aren't on a pedestal anymore. They're just any other team. They're very much beatable. So like, it's kind of weird to talk about Lyon like that also. But just, you come to a realization that, like, I think we come to the realization before the players do, because they still have that aura about them that they think they deserve to win everything. But the reality is that everyone's caught up to them, and most teams have been performing better than them. So I think that's quite interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was something that I spoke to Charlotte Harper from The Athletic, and she said she spoke to Khadisha Buchanan in the mix zone, and that Buchanan had said that she'd been really nervous about the game and about coming back to play against Lyon at the big stadium. And I get it, but it is also funny, isn't it? Because, again, that feels like thinking about playing the aura rather than the team. I feel like that's what Emma Hayes, after Eve Perisic went down for that penalty that I didn't think it was a penalty, but some people seem to think it was a penalty. And it was like, that was when she got everyone to calm down. And then I felt like Chelsea started playing who was in front of them rather than being like, we're in a Champions League quarterfinal and we're playing Lyon and we're kind of freaking out about that. But yeah, I mean, Lyon just offer nothing going forward. And I mean, you could see how sparse their options were, I think, when, you know, you're bringing on Becho and Millard, and like, no shade of Millard, but obviously she's been in and out of the team with injury, and there was just, they created nothing. You know, I think the XG for the game for Lyon was 1.2, but 0.4 of that was the Eugenie Le Sommer, like where she tried to chip it over AKB, which I think is very, very generous to see that as a big chance. Because I think that was a tough one.
The biggest chance was obviously, I think it was Cascarino's post.
Cascarino's shot, yeah.
That would have been the closest that Lyon got to anything, basically.
Yeah. And even that wasn't, you know, that was Magda Eriksson's error. So it's not like they created that. One thing I thought AKB was really impressive from corners, because that's something where Chelsea have really struggled recently. And Lyon are like insane. If you look at their numbers in the French league, they score like, or like they create a third of their XG from like set pieces and stuff like that. And I was like, ooh, freaking out. But AKB like came out so big in terms of claiming the ball quite a few times and just punching and just being like, fuck it, I'm just gonna punch it away. Punch it away.
No, it was AK. I don't know what you think about AKB, Lily. I thought she's kind of dropped off a bit in some reaction saves. Mostly, I think it's just a reaction save that she slowed down a bit, whereas Musovich kind of, that's where she thrives on. But also, I do want to add that going back to that the set piece thing, Wendy Renard is still Lyon's top goal scorer of the league.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's,
that says how little attack Lyon have. When a your defend, I'm trying to say nothing mean. when Wendy Renard is your top goal scorer in the league, what does that say about your team?
I know.
Like, it's ridiculous. One more thing to touch on before we move on to Roma Barça. Millie Bright went off with an injury. I mean, when the replacement is Magda Eriksson, it's not the worst. But I don't know what you think of that in the return leg in Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, for me, the issue is that Chelsea never play without Millie Bright because she's so fit all the time. So it feels like uncharted waters. You're right. Obviously, having Magda is great, but there's so much baggage around that right now. You know, I thought she was good yesterday, aside from the terrible pass. I was
expecting a lot worse, to be fair.
But it's a very hard situation. You know, you already have to deal with the fact that you effectively been dropped for this game. You know, Jess Carter's been preferred over you, and I thought Jess Carter was immense and justified every element of that decision. I thought she was really, really strong. But yeah, I was like, oh, when Magda came on, I was like, this is not an easy thing to come into, but she is the ultimate pro, you know, and she does. And sometimes maybe players need those moments to kind of turn their season around and refine their form. And
she's also much more vocal than Millie. I would say for the return leg, that might be an advantage to kind of get everyone calmed down and see out the result.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that we'd prefer to play with Brighton Buchanan, but compared to other areas of the pitch, you know, if Sam Kerr had got injured, that's a much bigger blow. You know, we are lucky that centre-back is an area, you know, even if we say one, I don't know, more no-nonsense defensive presence, we could play Jess Carter at centre-back and have Magda at left-back even. You know, there's a lot of options there. But it is scary because I think the team takes a lot of strength from Millie Bright, especially when we're playing in that way of kick it long, get it out, like make the decision early, make the tackle early, you know, don't try and do anything clever. And yeah, that pass from Magda, like, because Cascarino doesn't score, because it's a good save, we don't talk about it as much, but we could be talking about that, like us drawing or even losing the game as a result of that error. And you shouldn't be making that mistake at that level. Like, she's under no pressure at all.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting in the Stamford Bridge game to see if Emma Hayes does anything differently with the potential of Ada Hegerberg coming back.
Yeah. I still think,
because then you have aerial, you lose. I think the biggest loss with Billy would be the aerial duels against Renard and Ada.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I feel like, though, it will still be interesting because even if Ada plays on the weekend, you would think she wouldn't start. They're playing Gangomp, who they famously drew with earlier in the season. Do you remember when we were in Madrid? No, yes. Yeah, in Madrid. And So maybe she could start at Stamford Bridge, but like you'd still be talking about her first start since August.
Yeah.
So I think it will be very interesting to see which version of Ada we get because she is superhuman in some ways, but she's also human. You know, like it's hard to come back after such a long layoff and just be like that, especially as the pressure rises and Lyon will have other stuff to think about. You know, in some ways maybe Bonpastor would be better off not starting her and saying, okay, we're going to bring you on for half an hour at the end and then you can give it everything, rather than having her go all out from the beginning and being like, So what, do you take her off, you know, after 60 minutes? Because she's not going to be able to play a full 90 that could potentially go to 120.
Yeah. It will be definitely interesting. I am curious to see. I do feel like Leon would be the ones to kind of throw everything out because you're desperate for the win, and that potentially going in the wrong way. But next team up, Roma versus Barcelona. Barca got that 1-0 win. Salma Parayuelo. I've gotten better at saying her last name. Salma got the goal, a very nicely taken goal for a 19-year-old in a quarterfinal in a big stadium in front of, what is it, 35,000 people? Like
Yeah.
an Italian record. I was really sad not to be there. I thought that the
It
atmosphere.
looked amazing.
Yeah. The anthem at the start was just outstanding. I thought that was a really the marketing that Roma did were was really good. It was the same marketing that Barcelona do. It's a one club mentality, come support the woman because your club is fighting in Champions League quarterfinals. I thought that was quite nice. But a very entertaining match. To everyone that wrote off Roma, you should never do that because I mean there's 7 points, if I remember correctly, 7 points in front of Juventus in Serie A. Like it's not everyone wrote off Roma because they were the weakest of the eight teams. And I mean, you saw the difference between Barca and Roma. I think Barca could have easily won by many, many more goals. That was quite obvious. But Roma, are still essentially on their way to win Serie A title. So it's not like they were a weak team necessarily. Weaker, yes, but a weak team, absolutely not. But I thought it was quite interesting. The second half in particular was a really fun one because I think Roma kind of motivated themselves at halftime and went out and knew they had nothing to lose. And I think they could have easily scored in many occasions. First half, Barca dominated that. Oshuala was very unlucky, to say the least. She had about
Classic Oshuala this game.
five opportunities that I think most strikers would have buried that, maybe except for Sinna Backsinious. We'll get onto that later. But she had many clear opportunities and none of them went in. I do have to commend Roma. I think they defended CGH quite decently. CGH still got past plenty of times, but I thought they slowed down the game quite a lot. They double teamed CGH whenever she got on the ball. Roma are, I think what impressed the most was that Roma are the time kind of team to fight for every single ball. Like it's the death of everything. And I think that's essentially what we need about but needed especially against a team like Barcelona who's always gonna have the ball. You're gonna be chasing the ball most of the time. And once Barcelona gets to the end of the pitch, ready to send that last one to cross, people are already tired. So I don't know what you thought, Jesse. I wouldn't say impressed because I think people that kind of knew how good Roma were weren't that all surprised. But I don't know what you thought.
I feel like this game is very hard to not have a lot of outcome bias around because if this game was played again, Barcelona could win 5-0. And then we wouldn't be talking about Roma in this way. So I think credit to Roma because they did stay in the game. But that wasn't always as a result of their defending, let's say. I mean, Oshuala, XG of 1.9 is crazy.
I mean, the opportunity she has was just, I think she would score that in most, in the league, she probably would score that.
Yeah. So what it does mean, though, is, yeah, Roma are still in the game. You saw them take more confidence as the game went on, which I thought was impressive as well because it would have been easy to say in that situation, just sit back and defend for the 1-0 because you don't want to. We see Barcelona do this all the time, right? They wear teams down and it might be 1 or 2-0, and then they score three times like in the last 10 minutes because teams just like they can't concentrate for that long. And when Roma was pushing forward, I was like, wow, like this is a choice because you could actually be jeopardizing you putting the whole tie like out of your control. I feel like they both. Like it was both that they took more confidence from it, and also maybe have had in the back of their minds that this, you know, in front of the home crowd might be the best opportunity they've got. And they really could have scored. They had some great opportunities just by pure force of will, but Sandra Panyos had to pull out some pretty big saves to make sure Barcelona kept their clean sheet. It is a shame. You texted saying you wanted Roma to score.
I wanted Gianchiti or Andressa to score, and they came the closest to scoring. I think I wanted it more for the sentimental reason of Roma scoring in that stadium, in front of their home crowd, because essentially this is going to be their last Champions League game of the season, and we won't see them until again next year. I mean, it seems like they're going to be going straight to group stages, so that's quite nice. But I thought it was going to be more of a sentimental reason of seeing that happen with Barca. You know, you're going to see your team. They're going to score against essentially the best team in the league right now, and you're going to want to come back to see them. So it was more the sentimental of give them the goal so the crowds can fully enjoy that day with the kind of a cherry on top. And I mean, I thought they deserved it at one point because of what you said. Most teams get worn down, but Roma kind of almost did the opposite. They came alive once the game was already dying out, and that's when they had their best opportunities, essentially. Andressa hit the side netting. Sandra Bagnol had to come out with that flying save. So I think that's what impressed me the most, is that Roma just never stopped. And I don't think Barca are kind of used to keeping up that tempo, especially in the league. They're never forced to keep up that tempo. If not, it's the opposite. They actually slow down their tempo because they're able to win a match without forcing their maximum effort, basically. But I think I also wouldn't have wanted Roma to score if I wasn't confident that Barca are going to blow this game away and Camp Nou.
Yeah, there was no point in this game where I was like, oh, I don't think Barcelona will get out of this quarterfinal. All of these quarterfinals finished 1-0. This is probably the only one where I still feel confident that the team I think will go through, will be Barcelona. Everything from their actual performance, ignoring the goals, the fact that they'll be playing at Camp Nou, the fact that you probably don't get as lucky as Roma got again over another 90 minutes. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it's quite obvious. Again, Barca could have easily won this by 5-0, and they didn't. But I think it was just bad luck, essentially, on the day. Again, yeah, what you said, Jesse, if that game is played over again, I think Barca would have easily run that through.
33 shots for Barcelona.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I think the stat was that they're only the second team to record as many shots without goals.
Oh, wow.
If I remember correctly, in the Champions League. But moving on to the next fixture, I think some more off-pitch drama, I think, in this one.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich versus Arsenal. Lea Schüle gets the win, the winning goal. As I think we talked about in the previous show, the second post cross from Bayern Munich. Quite classic. It's exactly the same how they scored against Barcelona, so I thought that was quite interesting. I don't know what you thought about Zinsberger on that goal. I thought it was quite awkward how she tried stepping to get to the ball rather than jumping, if that makes sense. But also the ball was curling kind of inside the side netting, so I thought it was quite hard. But I would have been interested to see, like, a Christiane Ler probably would have flown for that rather than try to take a few steps and then jump. So I don't know what you thought about that.
It was all a bit Mary Earpsy, you know, then when she was like tangled up in the net. Do you know what I mean? When Mary Earps kind of does the same thing and misjudges high balls. But I think it was hard because it was quite a looping cross and then quite a looping header. And the height Schüle managed to make contact was tricky. I think the only thing that's weird is that there were a couple of moments as well in other shots where Zinsberger almost looked like she knew they were going wide, and they did, but this was almost felt
was
like
very,
the same.
It was a very close.
Yeah, this felt like a similar kind of thing. Like, maybe she thought it was, because it came so high, it was going over the bar or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was only almost the other behaviour that made me think, oh. But it's a very good header. I'm like,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the curling, the way it was curling, it would have been hard to get to. But I was curious because like her steps just look very awkward and not necessarily what you would do to try to get to that ball. So it is
Yeah.
quite interesting what you say that maybe she did kind of take her hand of it. I think from that goal, what also I took away was that Clatterbull was wide open behind in the second post. I think. I mean, Bayern Munich, again, they scored the exact same win against Barca. And I think Arsenal have historically been drawn out of position in these crosses. And yeah, it was Weinrathier was on Lea Schüller. And yeah, Clatterbull was literally just one step behind, wide open, waiting for a first time finish. And I thought that was very, not lazy, but Bayern Munich have been doing this so many times that surely you would kind of get your head wrapped around it if you actually analyze their games.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was definitely poor defensively, and Schüller and Wienreuther felt like an odd matchup anyway. But I will say, I thought Schüller was fantastic. I think it's maybe one of the best games I've ever seen her play. Just, I thought she did everything so well. Her hold up play was immense, her pressing, the fact that every time she got the ball in situations where you just thought, like, where can she go with this? She managed to make something of it. You know, some of her touches were incredible to create space for herself. Her, yeah, shooting from the edge of the box, it felt like they weren't pot shots. Like, we're talking about the amount of power Lauren James generates. It was a similar kind of thing. Yeah, like they weren't on target necessarily, but they were pretty close, and they were from the kind of range where you wouldn't necessarily always expect or see a striker to be able to generate that kind of power with a snapshot. And obviously, like, I thought Bayern started amazing, and obviously Arsenal managed to take control of the game from about 20 minutes onwards. There were like patches where they lost control again, but I feel like Arsenal were quite controlled. But I think what gave Bayern hope in some ways was the way Schüller was playing, the fact they always had that out ball and she was able to do so much of it. It did relieve some pressure. It meant that the possession wasn't constant. Even though I thought Arsenal's possession was good, I never felt, and maybe this is because of Arsenal scoring, I didn't feel like they were really tightening the screw.
No, yeah, it was. I think that's a fair argument. I think Arsenal did a lot better than what we expected in terms of getting the chances that they did in front of goal. Frida Manum had that clear chance. There was that header from Sina Bukstinius. So I think the Ketlin four ball was a bit too high, but I mean, Arsenal hit the post. There was a goal line clearance from Saki Kumagai, and Arsenal were. You know, getting the opportunities to equalize at any point in the match. And I thought that was a lot more than what I expected. I thought Arsenal were kind of going to sit back a lot more and have minimum chances in front of goal. But I thought they did well to keep possession for, yeah, those like little amount of times where Arsenal were really building up pressure in the attack. But at the same time, it was kind of exactly what you expected. Generating everything without any conclusion, basically. I don't know what you thought about that handball call.
It's not a handball, I don't
Think?
think. Her hands are nowhere. She's jumping, and it's just natural, I think, where
Yeah.
her hands come away. I think it would have been incredibly harsh. If it was given, sure, we've seen some incredibly harsh handball calls
Yeah.
given in Men's Champions League as well. But lots of them have been like, this isn't
And
going to work,
very
because,
high.
but it's arms like at angles.
Yeah.
Whereas her arms were.
By her side.
They were by her side, like they were away from her body, sure, but I don't think in a ridiculous way. And I thought the way Jonas talked about it all afterwards was irritating, because I felt for like that and for the Raffaele one. I don't think it matters whether VAR is in use or VAR is not in use, because both situations, these aren't stone cold penalties that people have missed. They're subjective calls. And I don't care enough to come down one side or the other. But I didn't walk away from this game being like, Arsenal should definitely have had a penalty.
I think that's the biggest point is that it was very subjective. Because you can see both sides of the argument of the fact that if she wouldn't have hit it with her hand, the ball could have probably gone through on target or bounced off something else. But at the same time, her hands are parallel to her body. Again, they're a bit out, but parallel to her body in a natural position is not literally, you know, your arms glued to your body. So that was essentially natural position. So I think that's a very subjective thing, depending on the ref. And there's no right or wrong answer, essentially. It's what I think people have to realize. Of you go by the rule book, her hands are in natural position. You go by the rule book, her hands, if the ball wouldn't have hit the hand, it could have gone on target. So it's like, it's two different things. But it is what it is at the end of the day. Again, subjective calls. You can agree with them, you cannot, but that's just, it's human. It's a human thing at the end of the day. So that was quite interesting. I think the rest were, the Raffaele thing would have stood at all. I think that was a bit...
It's Raffaele versus Saki Kumago. Come on. Like, just yeah, look at the size of the two of them.
Yeah, exactly. I think the biggest disappointment, I don't know whether to call it a disappointment, but that Leah, when Leah Williamson tried to hit on target, I thought that was a very lazy way to hit the ball. And like, I understand that it's, you need quick reaction in those moments. And I thought her positioning of her body, her positioning of how she took that kick, I don't know if that represents how Arsenal are training compared to other teams. Because you would see maybe an Aitana, you know, have a better reaction to that. You would assume a Sam Kerr would have a different reaction to that, maybe a more like brute, like a forceful reaction to that to make sure that goes in. Whereas Leah kind of just reaches for the ball as if you were, you know, in a Rondo situation in training and you were too lazy to get to that ball. That was my impression. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh, and as people say on YouTube, I'm wanting Arsenal to the downfall of Arsenal because I hate Arsenal so much. I thought that was a bit lazy, and again, I don't know if that's testament to how Arsenal train or if that was just a very bad reaction at the moment. But that was quite disappointing to not see that ball at the end at the back of the net, and that kind of scramble in the box. I don't know what you thought of everything, essentially, of Arsenal's opportunities, if you think they're going to get more at the Emirates.
Yeah, so on the Leah thing, for me it's hard because the ball slightly changes direction, I think, or slightly changes speed as it's coming towards her, and it's almost like she's misjudged it, or that's how I kind of viewed it, and also she's a defender. So I feel like if it had been Stina going towards that ball and she'd gone for it like that, I'd be more with you on the criticism, but I'm like, look, it's sometimes if your set stuff's going to come to your central defender, they're not going to have the same kind of instincts.
Yeah.
I guess my concern for Arsenal remains that despite all the possession they had, and I did think they did very well, I thought Caitlin Ford was unreal.
She's fantastic. She was on her game, outstanding.
It still felt like they didn't know what they were supposed to do when they were in dangerous areas with the ball. Ford was like a great example, I felt. Like, she was getting into really dangerous positions. She obviously was so up for this game. But then she'd put the ball into a place where there were no Arsenal players there. And I was like, well, have they not made the run that, you know, like for a top team,
yeah,
you would expect them to be like, okay, if we're getting the ball in this kind of areas, this is where we expect,
yeah,
you know. And there were other occasions.
She's going to throw a ball blindly.
Right.
Blindly expecting.
Yeah. And there are other occasions where there was a point where Ford had the ball towards the top of the penalty area. Three Arsenal players in and amongst the Bayern players. No one's moving. And I'm like, well, what's Caitlin Ford got to aim at? Just a line of Bayern players with three Arsenal players. Like, someone needs to make a run there so she can put the ball in over the top. Or, I don't know. I feel like it's hard because, obviously, in the Conti Cup final, what felt like it really clicked was the Catley-Ford relationship. Mm-hmm. And obviously the Catley injury, you know, lose that. Noel Moritz played left back for 60 minutes, but Jonas wanted it changed. Like, Vicky Belova was waiting ages to come on. It was obvious, like, almost from the start of the second half that Jonas wanted to change it. It was fine. But yeah, it's, I just still don't see where the goals come from. And I've said this before, but the Miedema thing can only go so far. You've been training with the players you've got for 3 or 4 months. And what concerns me isn't like, yeah, okay, Sheena Blackstone isn't going to be some natural goal scorer who scores like the two chances she gets. But it is that thing of, you know, the lack of movement, the lack of kind of attacking
Understand
plans or ideas, you know, that's what concerns me, because I feel like if you have as much possession as Arsenal and as much control as they were able to get, you should be doing more interesting things than, you know, that the best chances came from a dead ball.
yeah.
Which, you know, it all counts, but again, when you have that much open play possession, you kind of need to do more with it.
Yeah, I would be very curious to. I noticed that as well. The kind of, you know, silence and dead attacking runs, and I would be very curious to put Katie McCabe back at left back, Caitlin Ford on the left, and Vicky Pullover on the right, to have them basically for Caitlin and Pullover to have each other to run onto because they're both very energetic players, and I don't know if that would make a difference or not, but I wasn't too keen on having both Noah Maritz and Laura Wijnaldum on the pitch at the same time. Because I think that settles down the attack quite a lot. Because I mean, we've complained about it. I don't know if it was on the podcast, but it was just us two. But Noah Maritz and Light and Wijnaldum are very quiet on the attack, whereas Steph Catley and Caitlin Ford give you literally like the complete opposite. And I think when a Beth Mead, when all these players are playing, you're quite used to having that extra overlapping run, or even an interlapping run, and then Caitlin Ford, not Caitlin Ford, Kim Little, very similar players, obviously, and then Kim Little's obviously quite nice at covering back, so you don't get that with a Noah Maritz and a Laura Wijnaldum, and if they're not giving you defensive security, might as well just put attacking players. At least they're going to give you that. So I'd be interesting to yeah, I'd be interested to keep Katie McCabe back at left back and start Victoria Pullover because of her energy, which I think is lacking, especially when you're starting Stina Baxinius down the middle.
One thing I will just say, which I think Bayern did do very well and maybe contributes to all of this, is that I thought Sara Zadrazil did a very good job on Kim Little for large portions of the game. And I think if you're looking at that, you know, you're looking for that really creative player in Arsenal's midfield. Obviously, Marnham and Bolte both are creative in their own ways, but that person who's maybe is going to play that pass or see something, you know, that no one else sees, that is the kind of player Kim Little is in my eyes. And yeah, I thought Sara Zadrazil just did very, very well to sit on her, to step up whenever she got near the ball. And maybe that's why Arsenal were kind of relying so much on Caitlin Ford's crosses, because they just couldn't really get Kim Little on the ball.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think Bayern very underratedly have one of the best midfields in the Champions League. When you look at, I think also we do have to mention a Sidney Lohmann and Katie McCabe fight because I thought that was very rogue.
I mean,
But yeah,
Sydney Lohmann continuing to prove that she is a dick, as Jill Scott
I love
says.
it. Absolutely love it. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the midfield, it's, you know, you have Sara Zadrazil, Georgia Stanway, Lina Magul, Carla Buhl, Sidney Lohmann, and Lea Schüller in your midfield and attack. Like, that's a ridiculous team to come up against, especially in the midfield. And we know that, I mean, Arsenal's advantage over Chelsea in the Conti Cup final was the midfield, and it was Kim Little, essentially, and Leo Valti. But I am very curious to see. I am not going to get my hopes up just yet. I'm mostly curious to see how Jonas reacts to this as a manager and not as a press conference manager saying all these things. I'd be very curious to see how he reacts more than how the team reacts. Because of that, you know, you need leadership from the top, and we've seen that with plenty of other teams. If you don't have a clear game plan against a team who does have a clear game plan, you're going to see the downfall of that. So I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll see. Last match, PSG Wolfsburg. Dominik Janssen penalty gave Wolfsburg a 1-0 win. Your gal Jessie de Almeida got a red card.
Yeah, I've already revealed to Alex, and I have no shame in revealing to you, Box Box listeners, that I was drunk for this game. So I didn't follow it super closely, but I did pay attention when at least Almeida got sent off because I was like, there's my gal. She's always there, kind of not quite getting it right. She's always just
She
slightly off.
had a very spicy match more than
Yeah.
usual. I think Lena Oberdorf got in a lot of people's heads, as you would expect. I thought Lena, I
She
mean, nobody.
catfished us all.
Yeah, she did.
You could have asked
I mean, no,
everyone
I
in
mean,
Europe. No one would
it was Struth that said that Lena Oberdorf was unavailable for this match.
have
And there she goes, starting 11 as if nothing happened.
Ooh.
I thought she, I mean, Lena Oberdorf is always good, but I thought she had a really good match in stopping the PSG attack quite a lot. Gracia Lloro, Shaqiri Gunnen. I mean, Shaqiri Gunnen, I think, got a yellow card. That's when Shaqiri Gunnen gets a yellow card, she gets pissed off. That's when you know the PSG are just like fuming. I thought Lena broke off the play. She won a lot of balls back in very important places. And that she, I mean, she was 100%. She had a knee strapping, so that's the injury, but she was playing as if nothing happened, essentially. And I thought PSG played better than what we expected, I think. They got on the attack quite a lot. They used their players quite well. I thought Diani had a decent match on the attack. Drunk Jesse, what did Drunk Jesse think about this?
Yeah, I think PSG were better than we expected. I think they were clever in, and this is kind of what we expect from PSG, I guess, right, with the players they have, but to play down the flanks. And obviously, it's easier to avoid Lena Oberdorf if you really focus on playing on the wings instead. And I feel like Wolfsburg were disappointing. Like, they didn't have a single shot on target. I don't think that's what anyone would have predicted when we went into the game. I do think lineup wise, this was a mistake from Struve because when we've been previewing this game, what we were talking about is kind of all the exciting, pacey wingers Wolfsburg have and putting PSG under pressure. And then when you've got all three of Alex Pop, Svenja Hood, and Jill Roord playing with Lena Latvine and Lena, like it's a very centered, you know, they're players who want to kind of play. I mean, obviously Svenja Hood, like she does come out wide. She would be, you would expect her to play on the wing in that way.
But you saw it when Jan Sathir and Yule Brand came on. They were outpacing every single defender.
And I just feel like, okay, sure, maybe you don't want to play both of them. Maybe you value that experience. We saw, you know, how much Germany benefited from Alex Poppins, Svenja Hut kind of running the show at the Euros. They're players who can get it done, but I just felt like it. And maybe what's kind of ironic is maybe it was a reaction to a worry about PSG attacking down the flanks. You know, like use experienced players, use players who aren't gonna, you know, sprint out of position loads. But it didn't actually really stop that, and I just thought it was surprising that Stroot didn't try and change that earlier to inject something more into it. Obviously, it's kind of fine. And maybe it was like, you know, we're away, PSG haven't scored, we're not too worried about that. But I think the problem is PSG will have taken a lot of heart from that game. And now, okay, yeah, they've got to go to Wolfsburg, but they're only a goal down. And I think Wolfsburg's quality compared to PSG's, that on paper they could have put this game out of sight. And that's credit to PSG. But, you know, I feel a lot less confident that Wolfsburg are going to go and win this second leg easily than I do like Barcelona, you know?
I think this game is still up in the air for either side. I think Wolfsburg were less impressive, I think, than what we expected as well. I personally thought this game was quite bland and it went by very slowly. There wasn't much to it. PSG, and we haven't enjoyed one of the matches in a very long time, and this wasn't any different, even though it was better than usual. But I thought Wolfsburg kind of went down to their level in what you said, Jesse. Maybe Struve was kind of like, we're just gonna see out this match and see how it goes because we don't know what to expect. And I thought you kind of saw that. You didn't see much of Jill Roord, for example. there was no exciting and not much exciting things from her. Ella Bayor was quite quiet as well. I mean, the only goal of the match was a penalty, so that kind of sums it up quite well. I thought neither side were necessarily impressive in the in this chance that, yeah, you kind of go confidently into the second leg, like, knowing that one's going to win over the other, even though we did predict Wolfsburg, so I think we have to stick with that. But yeah, I thought this match was kind of, it was very dull. I wouldn't be surprised if Wolfsburg just kind of sit back and see out the result, maybe get one more goal and kind of sit back from there. I think PSG don't have it in them at the moment to get a result over a Wolfsburg that's just has better players in them than every part of the pitch. Not every part of the pitch, let's not say that. And most of the attack. And I will be curious to see if Struts starts either Yule Brand or Jan Sathir, because I thought once they came on, the way they played with each other, one was amazingly good. You can tell they had a really good relationship. And the outpacing of it, Svenja Huth couldn't outpace Garchawi. That was never going to happen, no matter what. And she wasn't able to do it in the match as well. I mean, Ashley Lawrence has good paces as well. Ewa Bayor has a lot of pace, and she wasn't able to outpace neither of the fullbacks. So I thought that was quite interesting. I thought Jan Sathir and Yule Brand did really well on the ball, especially on the counter attack, when Ashley Lawrence is going up high, when Garchawi is going up high. So I will be curious to see what he does in the return leg at Wolfsburg. But let's finish with predictions. All
Sure.
right.
I got Chelsea Lyon dead on, by the way. I said 1-0 Chelsea.
I don't think we're doing too bad, are we?
I can't remember what we predicted for anything else. I only know the Chelsea one because I predicted it everywhere, and then I felt smug that I got it right. Yeah. I think
I think we
we've
said
got all the
Bayern, Chelsea, Barca, Wolfsburg to go through.
you said Lyon to win this leg though, the Chelsea leg.
Potentially.
I think that was the only one we differed on. I think otherwise we got everything right.
Yeah. And I can't see Leon. No, that's a lie. I can't see Leon coming back from this, but I think Chelsea will hold out the result quite well at Stamford Bridge.
I think Chelsea will hold on. Yeah.
I think Chelsea will go through, to be honest. I mean, I think on top of that, Chelsea deserve it more with the way they played against Leon. Leon didn't bring much, but I think the biggest thing is Ada.
Yeah.
But I think Chelsea.
It's a bit.
I think you should be fair. You should be fine, Jesse. You're fine.
I think if we were going away next week, I would be like, oh, not so sure about that. Being at home, I feel like I could see it being a draw, but I think we will hold on.
Decent. Arsenal Bayern. I think this might be the hardest one to call.
Yeah, this is the only one that I would say I could see that I think the losing team might reverse the result. I could see Arsenal doing this.
Will Arsenal do it? That's the concrete question. Don't sway one side to another. Go on.
I'm gonna say I think Arsenal will do it because I was really impressed in how Jonas did game plan for Chelsea when he played them a week later. I thought he got that spot on. I think Emma Hayes helped him in that, and it will be interesting to see, what Alex Strauss learns from that game as well. But I've just got a feeling. I've just got a feeling. And it's interesting because Arsenal's Emirates record is bad. Bad, bad,
Awful.
bad.
It's awful. Especially this season in the Champions League in particular.
Yeah. Also, that's why Mead and Minamino both did their ACLs on that pitch. So kind of cursed and bad. But I just think there's something annoying enough about this Arsenal team that they'll manage to get it done.
I agree with that. I think my argument would be based on Arsenal had a lot more to show than Bayern Munich did for the second leg. Which I think what goes into what you said, the game plan that Jonas did 1 week later, I think Arsenal have a lot to improve on, whereas Bayern kind of showed their game plan essentially with their midfield, with their wingers. Arsenal didn't show any game plan, so it's quite easy to make one up in the second leg. But I agree, it's a hard one to call. I think Bayern could easily see out the results with the team that they have, with a player like Sarah Sargsyan, Jordan Stanway being able to break up the play when things are getting rough for them, and Arsenal attacking well. But I do think Arsenal, I think they have the motivation as well. I think it's come at a good time in the season where Arsenal have kind of come together and have realized that they can actually get something out of the season, both in the league and potentially in the Champions League. You know, making it to the semi-final is one step more than last season already. So that's a big step there. And then once you get to semi-final, you never know what could happen, but it would be very interesting. And obviously with playing the winner of Paris and Wolfsburg, Arsenal have the best run to the final, essentially. If they're confident to beat Bayern, I think they can be confident to beat either PSG or Wolfsburg if they do it well enough. But I, you know, we're going to go for Arsenal. This podcast is putting good vibes into the world. And we get an extra Champions League match in London.
Yeah, I'm really glad that the Arsenal game, like, I'm really looking forward to that game.
Yeah.
It's going to be really enjoyable to watch live, because obviously the Chelsea game, I'll just be nervous. So I'm like, I'm really like, because I just don't know how it's going to go. I think it'll be really interesting.
That's fair. I'm very sad to be missing this match.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I can't say I'm upset because I'll be in Camp Nou, but I am very sad to be missing this match.
You know that game will probably be boring.
The Camp Nou match?
Yeah, because Barcelona is going to win.
Yeah, but then I get to see all the goals. It's
fine. Oh, mighty upset.
I'm getting a new tattoo that day anyway.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. I do have a 6 a.m. flight to Barcelona, which I'm not too excited about, but it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. We get to the stadium early.
Well, I mean, but don't do what I did. My flight to Lyon was meant to be at 8 and I left at 12. So
I'm hoping for not that, but we'll see. Roma Barca, Barca will definitely win that. Do you think Roma can potentially get a call back?
I mean, maybe, but I think Barca will be fine.
Yeah. Wolfsburg PSG. I'm sticking with Wolfsburg.
I think Wolfsburg will hold on. Yeah. But I wonder if PSG could make it nervy. I don't feel as confident as I did before. Like, before I was all in on Wolfsburg. Now I'm like 70 Wolfsburg, 30 PSG.
Oh, that's still quite high.
Mm.
I think PSG will score. I can see PSG scoring and Wolfsburg potentially getting one more. Maybe that's when Struyck throws in Jan Sertier and Yule Brandt.
Yeah. I think he might also, yeah, because PSG will have to come out more.
Yeah.
Although saying that, I said that before when Chelsea played PSG and it didn't happen. No. They just like really
I think that
still.
That was an awesome match though.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was also a group stage match. So I don't know if.
I mean, it's obviously the stakes are higher, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, so we're saying Arsenal, Chelsea, Barca, Wolfsburg.
And look at that. We'd have two English teams in the Champions League semi-finals.
Live box.
The country, it would be the country with the most. Gosh. That would answer some Twitter arguments, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that probably would. I think Bayern Wolfsburg, the semis would be very boring, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's just any game where you like you watch it all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like a Chelsea Arsenal Champions League final would be awful.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I've already watched that game be played like 10 times over the past 2 years. Yes.
We didn't mention it though, but Bayern Wolfsburg is being played this weekend.
Yeah, well, that's another reason to back Arsenal, because they just have to play Spurs.
Just. Riyad Skinner got sacked.
Riyad Skinner got sacked! Our campaign, it finally worked after months and years of complaining yes. about her.
Good times.
Yeah.
Hi, Riyad Skinner, if you're listening to this.
Best of luck in your new ventures.
Yes, basically. But we'll leave it at that. We'll come back next week after we have our 4 semi-finalists. We'll see how good we are. I am very excited, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing who makes it through, as long as it's Chelsea. I'm not ready to check out the Champions League just yet.
No, I think I'm more confident than you are on this.
It's always the way, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. But yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Hopefully Jesse has good news with Chelsea. I think it'll be, and then we can live box to box in Barcelona with an ultimate box to box derby.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. But until then, enjoy the Champions League and see you next week.